a one-page wonder. I don't know how many years ago that I preached on this book at camp up north. Remember that, guys? Yeah. So this week's a really, really, really busy week for me. So I thought, cheat a little bit. So I went to my file and I looked for that sermon that I preached several years ago now, and I couldn't find it. So we're back to a new study, a new sermon. And as I can recall the message that God gave me several years ago, it's totally different than what you're going to hear this morning. So here we go. So today we jump into that book of Philemon, a personal letter from Paul to a house church leader and his family. It's a one-page wonder that is perfect for a time like this where people have once again been made aware of inequality, injustice, and racism. A time when many run to the scripture to find answers. I'd just like to know where we are today in our society dealing with the COVID and the racism and et cetera, et cetera. I would just like to know how many people went to their scripture to look for an answer. And then I'd like to know how many people went to the book of Philemon for that answer. So often this book is just, when's the last time you heard a sermon out of this book? Long time, isn't it? It's kind of one of them one-page wonders that never get much attention. But yet the message there is so powerful. And the message there is so appropriate for us today. The reality is the scriptures we have chosen were used to justify slavery. Listen to this now. This scripture was used to justify slavery in the early 19th century and at the same time, forgiveness. When slavery was alive and well in the United States, this is the scripture that they went to justify their actions. The America's pro-slavery folks referred to Philemon as the Pauline Mandate. This was a biblical sanction of American slavery and a legal brief outline for what one should do if a slave runs away. They went to this scripture to tell them what to do. Both interpretations represent poor biblical study to justify societal problems that were never meant to be addressed. Philemon is a message from Paul to us about the dangers of the extremes of judgment and acceptance, a warning that we all need to hear today. The airways are filled with judgment. Media is fanning the flames of both sides of racism and injustice and inequality. Notice that I didn't say debate or discussion, because there is little debate taking place. I've seen good people say and do and post the most judgmental and critical statements on both sides. If social media has taught us anything, we all have some inherent bias and fears. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I find myself, since we've come into this Black Lives Matter era, if I can use that term, I find myself trending more prejudice than I was before we got into this era. Now, I like to think myself as not being prejudiced, but I find myself and my thoughts going in that towards that direction the more that we are into this period of our society. If social media has taught us anything, we all have some inherent biases and fears. Recall the quotes of the past few days. Just recall them. I'm not going to quote them here this morning, but they're there. I know you remember them. None of them fully encapsulate the Christian worldview. When is the last time in this discussion, if I can use that term, we're not doing it, but I'll use that, have you heard Christianity injected into the argument? You see, when the looting starts, the shooting starts. There was a former Miami police chief, Walter Headley, in 1967, whose legacy of harsh policing in black neighborhoods incited a three-day riot. None of that was based on Christian worldview. The riots we're experiencing today are not based on Christian worldview. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, in an Instagram war with a customer over the difference between the statements Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, and All Lives Matter, shared why he supports the Black Lives Matter movement. He said this: Black Lives Matter speaks to racism and the disproportionate risk that many black people face in our law enforcement and our justice system. They fear what they don't understand. They hate what they can't conquer. And I guess that's just the theory of man becoming a monster. Here's the danger we're in today, in my opinion. Black lives do matter. Period. All lives do matter. Period. But that term, Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter, has been taken out of context, and it is interpreted by most that it's only black lives that matter. Everybody else is on their own. Well, we know that's not true. And the reason that it's where it's at in our society today is because the people that are funding this movement are evil people. And they're using this out of context to create divide and unrest within our society. And we as Christians, to a certain degree, are allowing this to happen. Where is our voice? You see, our lives begin to end the day that we become silent about things that matter. That was a quote by Martin Luther King. Quote by Rush Limbaugh: "Don't forget, these are the people who have been promising their African American voters for 50 years that this stuff is going to stop. But they don't forget. Riots are the voices of the unheard." Martin Luther King. The reality is none of these public figures or their statements represent the Christian worldview where the sanctity of life is paramount. As a Christian, we believe we are all created by one God who came out of love for us and commands us to love to that same extent. You see, the book of Philemon teaches us a different way. It teaches us the Christian way. So let's dive into that scripture. The letter begins with a standard greeting of that day. It is written to Philemon. Philemon was the leader of a house church. At that time, churches met in people's houses, generally in secret because of the persecution. And Philemon was one of them leaders of one of them groups. Paul reminds him of the commitment of a leader of Christ's church and of his faith. This will be a key as he lays out his case for the slave, Onesimus, who is now a believer, and he is with Paul. Paul continues to lay it on, reminding him not only of his commitment as a leader and a Christian, but as a partner. He's telling Philemon, hey, we're in this together. We need to remember what God is telling us. We need to recall and act on the instructions that God has given us. Whether he's a slave or black or red or white or whatever the case may be, the instructions God gave us was to love all. They are part of a shared vision and partners in a mission. You see, in the day, there were over 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire. People were bought and sold like merchandise. But slaves could buy their freedom if that slave could raise the 1 year in wages. You know, slavery in ancient times was more of a class of people than slavery as we have known it in the United States, or slavery as we think it is or was. There are people that lived their entire lives as slaves by choice. Sure, they didn't get paid, but they were fed, they were housed, they had the right to buy their way out. So it was more of a class of people, just like lower income, middle income, upper income, that type of thing. Slavery in Romans' time was one step below lower income, if I can use that. If a slave ran away, the person who found them could assume custody or even intercede with the owner. So if you had a slave that ran away and somebody other than the owner captured this slave, he could intercede with the owner and say, hey, how about me buying him from you? Or how about you just returning, taking him back, but not punishing him? Or how about this or how about that? Slavery, as we think of it, as we've been taught in our history, they were automatically hung or tortured or beaten or maimed. That wasn't the case in Roman times. The slave was automatically returned to the owner or sentenced to death. While some owners were cruel, many more were not. Cruelty wasn't a big factor in slavery in the Roman times. Slavery in Roman times were different than what we experience in the founding of the United States. They were not as discriminated against for their color or their nationality. Slavery was a class system. It was economic as much, if not more, than a differentiating factor. So after appealing to Philemon's reputation, Paul's apostolic authority, Paul's disciplining Onesimus, Onesimus' value and God's promise, effectively, he was saying that I know what the law says. I know what the culture says. But I am asking you to do it differently. And Jesus validates this thought in his Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, 23 and 24, Jesus is saying, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled. Choose now, then come and offer your gift." So Jesus is telling them to act differently. If you have discord, don't ignore it. Make it right. Clean your side of the street. Listen to one another. Take time to understand versus being understood. And if afterwards you still feel you have been wronged, the grudge is not from God, and it's time to let it go and let God bring good from it. How difficult is that for us? Sometimes impossible. Sometimes we're hurt so bad that forgiveness just doesn't come into our vocabulary. So the problem is that we just don't want to believe we can or we should. We have rights after all. The innate senses to fairness for ourselves. That's what we look for. It's what's fair to me. That's how I'm going to approach this. But this is where faith comes in. We're called to do more. We're called to do more than just focusing on our rights. We're called to live up to our responsibilities as Christians. We're called to do it differently than what our nature tells us. When the good deeds of the age of COVID are declining because everybody is busy, we believe in Jesus must have consistency because we are to bless others in the name of Jesus. COVID has divided us more than I can think I can ever remember. Maybe the exceptions of the Vietnam War. But we're called to do it differently. We're called to live in this pandemic. We're called to live in this world of racism and social injustice differently than how we would serve ourselves. Now, in this new age of civil unrest and racial irritation, we are called to do something different again. We see sin as the disease. It has caused much suffering. A sinful nature pushes us to darker places. Just like Paul, who was going against the cultural norm and asking for the forgiveness and restoration of the slave, we need to go against cultural norms as believers. Don't focus on our right, but instead focus on our responsibilities, on the responsibilities as a believer in Christ. We see what focusing on race is getting us. I have a position of power, therefore I have the right to act harshly to those of lesser power. How much do we see that in our society today? How much do we see that in our Christian families today? I have anger because harsh treatment, therefore I have a right to destroy the property of others. I have rage that someone destroyed my property, therefore I have a right to feel negative toward a certain people group and spread my opinion about them. I can badmouth anybody I want. And then I can search for a justification for doing it. I have a right to find a new spouse so I can be happy. I have a right to use my paycheck how I want and not pay my bills. I have a right to throw a loud party until 3 a.m. Doesn't matter what the neighbor says. Doesn't matter what goes on at that wild party. I have a right to never forgive that person, even if Jesus says to forgive everyone. My right supersedes what Jesus tells us. That's what we think. Or we don't think at all, and we just work in that direction. There are unalienable rights. There are protection. There is religion and dignity. But when we focus on a bunch of other rights that are supposed to help us be more comfortable, gain convenience, give power over others, for me to get ahead no matter who suffers, then we are focusing on selfish means. You see, rights are usually focused on me. They're a me-focused thing. Responsibility is an other-focused thing. And this is exactly what Paul was saying to Philemon, who had the right to change Onesimus with penalty and put, or to charge Onesimus with penalty and put him to death. Philemon could have done that. He had that right. And Paul did not deny that, but he is challenging Philemon to focus on his responsibilities instead of his rights. When we look at Jesus, we see God himself giving up his rights for the responsibility to bring salvation into the world. Jesus gave up his right for our freedom. Best of Christian love happens when we remember that we are recipients who deserve a death penalty and needed a mediator and needed our debt paid. God didn't talk about his rights. Jesus didn't think about his rights. God gave Jesus the responsibility of going to the cross so that our sins could be given. So God's responsibilities are other-focused. Jesus' responsibilities are other-focused, not self-focused. The best of Christian love happens when we remember that we are the recipients who deserve a death penalty. It's a realization that 1 Peter verse 9, but you are chosen, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. When we approach the prospect of loving others, this humility of being chosen and his special possession are the reasons that we can shine brightest when we display the best of Christianity by loving those who have been wronged, those who have wronged us, those who are of different race, those who are different, those who are different color, those who have a different creed, those that are a different age, those that are of different sex, but also economically, socially, culturally, politically, mentally, physically, and any other differences. You see, it's this way. Our position in heaven should always override our situation in life. The works that we do here on earth determine our position in heaven. In the moment when we stop focusing on rights and focus on responsibility, we stop judging others and accept them as created by God, we begin to diminish the effects of racism, classism, economics, and even injustice. We also increase their value to society and to the culture. So, I'm going to task you with something for a few moments. We've talked about this before. Before we come to communion, we must forgive. I'm going to give you a moment to forgive those that have wronged you. I'm going to give you a moment to even ask for forgiveness for yourself for those that you have wronged. Take a moment and do that as I prepare the table.